Hello guys, welcome to the Black Spain Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to day...
I don't even know what day it is. Day 9?
No. Day 8 and 9?
Oh, okay.
Eugene did yesterday.
Yeah.
So day 8 and 9.
Reaching out.
For once, we're podding during the tournament, during the day, which is great. Yeah, how are you?
Good. It's been a good day today, actually.
Mm-hmm.
After a tough one yesterday.
Yeah.
Poor Taylor.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Which I think is where we should start.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing, actually?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, great tennis today. Great tennis yesterday as well, despite, you know,
Labor Day, by the way.
Oh, yeah. True. Happy Labor Day. We're going to see what the New York street's saying for Labor Day. We'll see what the party's saying. But, yeah. Taylor.
Man.
Against
Barbora Krejcikova.
In Louis Armstrong. Yeah, it was honestly, again, as much as to the way the match ended, it was a brilliant set of tennis. The first set,
6-1.
She literally was just breezing through, and I was like, because I initially had Taylor winning the match in 3 sets. And then when the way she was playing that first set, I was like, wow, hold on. She might win this straight with the way that she's playing. Again, the same way that she's been doing, the shot selections, the fitness, the confidence. To me, she did look a little bit more nervous going to the match. Because when I was seeing her warming up, I was watching it from home, so I could actually see that the camera angles and everything. When she was sitting in a chair, like, it looked like she was doing like quick meditations and stuff. So for me, I think she was a little bit more, which I can understand. You know, you're gonna get to the quarterfinals. You also have you're also facing a champion, and the thing is as well, she's not just a singles, she's also a doubles champion. So it was interesting seeing two great doubles players going head to head like that for a spot for the quarterfinals. But obviously everyone is talking about the tiebreak during that second set, which was brazy. Very long, very intense, and massive shout out to Krejcikova for literally just saving all this match. Like, it's not, I know, you know, we're talking a lot about Taylor, how it might be difficult for her, but for her to save all of those 8 match points, and you're facing an American as well, crowd going all wild, and again, you're going to the second week of the Grand Slam, it's a lot. But that tiebreak was just, it was just a fun set of like tennis, honestly speaking. I really enjoyed the entire match. For me, was really fun, but that specific tiebreak was great. What do you think?
Yeah, no, the atmosphere was amazing. Like, and we've said it a few times since being here, Armstrong is a special stadium. Mm. And I feel like, obviously, Taylor's match before this round was on Ash, obviously, where she beat Miro and Draver. And yeah, like, I don't know about her being nervous. I guess, her kind of, this being her first 4th round, well, second, actually. She did reach the 4th round in 2019. So we've got some kids trespassing in front of us, which is quite funny. They're just being told to get off the grounds, which is quite funny. Or get off the court, even. But anyway, yeah. I thought Taylor, like you said, the start she made in that first set, 6-1, just absolutely cruised through it. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think it kind of threw Krejcikova off
mm-hmm.
a little bit. And I think it wasn't necessarily just due to the way Taylor was playing, but also the crowd support, because I feel that that was also a big factor.
Of course.
Obviously, Taylor's a very popular player. Like, we've kind of, that's been established now, like, during this tournament and even prior. Like, she has a lot of fans, but she's definitely won a lot more now off the back of this run. And obviously the controversy as well, unfortunately, with Ostapenko. I say unfortunate, I mean, I think she's come out of it pretty well. to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
But just on the match, though, I thought Krejcikova was a two-time Grand Slam champion, and that kind of, I guess that kind of showed in the end in terms of like the experience, like been there, done that. Like, and there was a point, I think it was, she was serving at 4-5 in the second set, so serving to stay in the match. Taylor did have a match point in that game.
Yeah.
Obviously, Krejcikova saved it. And I was like, wow, like, is it going to be her day? And then obviously the tiebreak, because everybody knows now how that went. Just insane in terms of the level as well. Like, both are playing at a very high level. Like,
yeah.
I don't think anybody was playing passively or, I don't know, scared.
Mm.
They were both going for it.
Yeah, for sure.
I have seen some silly comments, which I've addressed one of them on our page, unfortunately. Basically saying that, like, Taylor choked, when I just think that's such a... One, I hate that word. And two, I feel like if you're not a player, you don't know how it feels to be in such a position.
Mm.
So to just say, oh, like, someone's choked, like, no. Like, there's way more to it than that. Mm. And she was in tears at the end. Like, in the end, it was a... What was the score in the end? 7-6, 6-3, I think, in the third set.
Mm.
So yeah, Krejcikova did win that third, and Taylor was, you know, distraught and quite rightly so, like,
of course,
very understandable. But what I do love about Taylor, Lucy, is just how she's able to just like bounce back. So impressed, I was worried, thinking, oh, what kind of mood is she going to be in?
Mm-hmm.
And like, she literally came in, obviously, like, she had a smile on her face.
Yeah.
She did crack a joke, and then it was like, basically she was just kind of back into, it felt like the Taylor from the previous round, like, even though she'd lost. So, and I want to give John Williams, her coach, like, tremendous credit for that, because he does a lot of work, like, in terms of psychological work. And she mentioned how basically her coach, shout out to John, he allows her to, like, sulk for like 3 minutes after a defeat, and then after that it's like back, basically you're back on now, like, what's the next challenge? And yeah, she's still in doubles, top seed in doubles with Katerina Siniakova.
Mm-hmm.
So still a lot more, you know, to play for. And again, she kind of mentioned that in press as well, like, just saying how my biggest takeaway from the press conference, Lucy, is the fact that she's hungry to play more singles. She said she's right where she needs to be.
Yeah.
Which is what we posted on our socials.
Yeah. Yeah.
Saying that she's got the game to beat,
mm-hmm,
you know, the top 20, top 10 in the world. Like, literally beat a Grand Slam champion en route to the fourth round. Nearly beat another one in the fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
Beat a world number 5 in Mira Andreeva in the third round. Like, her singles game is up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so happy to see that and to hear that she's basically looking, or she cannot wait to basically play more singles. She was like, oh, she looked at the schedule and was like, oh, when am I next going to be on the singles court? So obviously that's going to be in Asia.
Yeah.
She still has work to do here in terms of doubles. But
I think what's fun is that her doubles talent is actually even helping her with the singles.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Well. So like, which I feel like that's what happened this run. A lot of her double tactics, in addition to the shot selections, which you really need to be good at in doubles, because, you know, you have two people that are in front of you, so you have to, like, be able to just aim for those winners, yeah, to make sure that, I mean,
you're only playing with half of the court when you're playing doubles.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You don't have to worry about the full court, basically.
Yeah, and so, you know, with her playing more aggressive, more power, at a right pace as well, not too much, not, like, little, it just worked out well. But yeah, honestly, massive shout out to her and to her team. What a great way to do it at your home slam as well. It's pretty good. I mean, as much as US Open's the last slam, it's not the end of the season yet, so she can still
There's a lot more tennis to play, definitely.
There's a lot of tennis next couple of months, and she can still take advantage of that and do something about it by the end of this season and keep, you know, increasing her rankings in singles. So yeah, big up Taylor. Obviously looking forward to her playing doubles still. It would definitely be great for her to get a doubles title at home as well, for sure. I mean, she has been in the finals before, I think with McNally.
Yeah, exactly.
So she knows what it's like.
And the mixed doubles final last year.
Yeah. So shout out Taylor. Great run. Honestly, I've loved all of her matches. This tournament, all of her singles matches, they've been really, really great. And then obviously we had today,
Felix Auger-Aliassime, rolling back the years, vintage Felix. He's back.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he took out 15th seed Andre Rublev in straight sets, 7-5, 6-3, 6-4. And that again was on Arthur Ashe. I say again, that was on Arthur Ashe. That opened Arthur Ashe today, actually.
Yeah.
On Labor Day. And just what a performance, Lucy, man. Like, I'm just so happy to see Felix playing this kind of tennis again. And look, going into the match, I was confident he was going to win, but I thought it was going to be a four-setter, not a straight sets win.
I thought it was going to be five. I thought it was going to be five because Rublev love long matches during Grand Slams, but I also forgot that Rublev's the type of player where a lot of times he comes into a match with one plan and sticks to that plan. He's not really the type to change it up a little bit or mix it up. And then when you add to the fact that the player can then get used to his aggressiveness and respond well to it, he does not know what to do. So when you have those two, which is what basically happened with Felix, because if I remember correctly, Rublev broke first.
Exactly, yeah.
So as soon as Felix was able to adapt to Rublev's aggressiveness, that's it. After that, it was just breezing through. I felt like he didn't even need to do too much, to be honest, because he looked and played way better than Rublev. Like, his confidence was there. He knew what to do, the movement, what to do. Whereas you have Rublev, he did not know how to respond to what Felix was offering.
It was frustrating, definitely, for Rublev. But
I mean, when is he not frustrated?
I feel you made a good point in terms of Felix not having to play like that well.
Mm.
Because, I don't know, I'd say he's probably playing around 70%, maybe 80%.
For that match specifically, yes.
Like, so that there's still like, he still had gears basically to go, but he didn't need to go into those gears.
Mm-hmm.
Which again speaks to like the confidence he's playing with, like at this tournament, which is just so good to see, man. Honestly, like,
yeah.
And, we've covered him quite a long, well, from TV a lot of the time. Like, so to actually be here in person and like witness it, like on the ground is special. And yeah, there's like a confident air, like he's walking around, like the way he's even kind of strutting around the court. To me, it just looks like he looks happy to be there for one,
mm-hmm.
but also like he's kind of expecting to win. And like, that's what I'm saying. That's taking me back to the Felix that was a top 10 player. He was world number six. I think that was his highest career high ranking
mm-hmm.
Back in 2022. So the game's there, man. Like, and again, look, people have been saying this for years. He broke through when he was what? He was winning matches on the Challenger Tour at like 14, 15. Like, the guy was a protege, like literally. So this really shouldn't be surprising anybody. It's just that he's had injuries, obviously, over the past couple of years as well, that kept him out, which has been tough. Obviously, the rankings dropped, but now, that win over Alexander Zverev in the third round,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that's kind of, it's kind of reset him. World number three, that's his biggest win at a Grand Slam to date. And now to take out Andre Rublev, who is the 15th seed. I think Felix is the 25th seed here.
Mm.
So on paper, Rublev should have won that match, but it never looked like that was going to be the case.
Yeah.
Felix was just literally better in every single department, serving, returning, just handled the conditions well as well. Like, it's a bit of a warm day today.
Mm-hmm.
How much that kind of plays into things like being on Ash, because Ash is quite, it's a big stadium, but it's like, it's well covered. So,
but I feel like you can, especially where the court is placed though,
there's like really a shadow.
You can exactly, yeah. So if it's windy, you will definitely feel it or something.
Because he did put on the cap, I think it was in the second set when he was serving at a particular end. So I guess that you could say that was or could have been a factor, but he handled it well. Like, yeah, just basically dealt with all the kind of issues Rublev was kind of dishing out at him. Not that there were not a lot of them. But yeah, the going into the match, similar to Zverev, the head-to-head was pretty one-sided against Felix. I think Zverev, it's 7-1, or was 7-1 going in against Rublev. I think it was 6-2. So similar in terms of like the one-sidedness of that. And I put that to Felix in press afterwards. And this is what he said.
Not really, because it's different. Like, you can lose, but there's different ways of losing. Like, obviously, the first times I played these guys, they were a bit older than me. And I was coming in, I was not the better player. So it's kind of like, okay, so I would lose, but I would feel like, okay, I still just need to improve. And then once I got to like a similar level than them, sometimes it was just close matches where one time I lost, he saved match points against me. One time I was up like 4-3 with a break in the third set, lost. So he's been tough, like with me again this year in Doha, we played 7-6 in the third for him. So we've always had like tight matches. So I just know that my level is there with him. I know like the ways to win. It's just about like, you know, doing it and doing it until the end so he doesn't come back.
So yeah, that was Felix talking about the head-to-head. I do find it interesting, like, when players kind of express the fact that it's not something they really think about. And he did make a good point about basically the times he'd played them in the past, like he was kind of catching up, whereas now his level is pretty much there, like with them. So yeah, just great to see him playing this kind of tennis, and very, very happy to see that his next opponent's going to be Alex Diminor, who the head-to-head is actually, well, I think it's 2-1 in Felix's favour. So makes a change. Although Diminor is a top 10 player, I think he's world number 9 at the moment. So it's going to be a tough one. But I'm confident about Felix's chances in that match.
Yeah.
What about you? How do you feel about?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Especially that I feel like they kind of the same level as well in terms of their tactics and stuff. So I think it's going to be like a very entertaining match. Yeah, Alex has been going deep in at tournaments, especially Grand Slams consistent as well. And with Felix playing the way that he's playing, it's definitely going to be an interesting one. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Now the match of the day. I think it's safe to say, in terms of anticipation, Coco Gauff versus Naomi Osaka. What's the tweet that you put out? Black girl tennis.
Whenever I have the two of the black players playing together, that is the vibe for sure.
It was amazing. So that was second on Ash. And it was funny. Like, I want you to talk about this as well. I felt like the atmosphere changed, like, quite dramatically from the Felix match to Gauff Osaka. Like, did you feel that?
I felt like the Felix match, to be honest, people were really focused on it. Like, that was the most quiet I've heard Ash being, honestly, especially the first set. And it wasn't a thing of, like, people not doing nothing. People were really tuning into the match and watching it. But it makes sense that the atmosphere will change when you have Coco, who's the star of the US Open, American player. And here, the people also love Osaka.
Yeah.
It's not too surprising that it changed and stuff. But I feel like the vibe was great for both of them for different reasons. I like the fact that people were focused on the Felix match because Ash tend to be the place where you just have people that are there for vibes because the real fans are either not able to afford it or they're only like up there and stuff. So yeah, so it's nice that people are focusing on the match, and then you also still have people focusing on the match still with for the Coco and Osaka match, but with more, like, you know, especially with Coco being an American player. But yeah, it was I feel like it was a good Labor Day type of thing. I know a lot of people wanted the match to be in the evening.
Yeah.
But I think considering the time, it kind of makes sense. Like, you know, you want to put it during the day so everyone can catch it. You know, there's also the European time. I'm curious to know what the time is like in Japan. I'm not sure. So maybe there was that as well to put into consideration. So yeah, I see it both ways. Like, yeah, prime time, the evening, great and stuff. But to be fair, with the way the match went, I'm glad that it even was a day match, to be honest.
60, was it 64 minutes?
Yes.
6-3, 6-2 to Osaka. Honestly, Lucy, I wasn't that surprised by, well, the winner, basically.
Yeah.
Maybe the manner of it was a bit surprising.
I think a lot of fans feel that way.
But again, I feel like, yeah, going in, I expected Osaka to win just because of the form she's in.
Exactly.
Carrying on that form from Montreal. I think we spoke about it on the previous pod. Like, she's playing with a lot of confidence right now.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's an air to her, like, where she's, I don't know, she's just going on to court and it feels like she's just expecting to win matches, like she was when she was winning Grand Slams.
Yeah.
This is becoming a mother, basically.
Yeah.
And it's like she's kind of finding that like source again, essentially. Like,
yeah, literally, press, that's all they were asking about. But I'm curious to know. I don't feel like you can just get up and just be like, right, okay, yeah, that's it. I'm going to start being positive. I'm curious to know what's the progress? How did she get to that point? Has she changed up a routine? Is her psychologist telling her, or her mental coach telling her different things? Do they have like a different progress?
She kind of alluded to it, saying how like she visualizes like being in certain positions or places. So I think that kind of speaks to that a little bit.
I thought she was talking about more of a tactical in that aspect, no? Not necessarily.
She was saying, like, in terms of getting back to where she was, like, saying that, yeah, like, she kind
I get that, but I'm still curious to know, like, what else, like, what are the things that she's doing for her to... Because I feel like when you're working on your mental, there are some things that you need to work on. Do something actively to feel that way mentally.
Okay, yeah.
So I want to know what I would love to know, like, what it's like. But either way, it's great to see, because we saw it during Montreal, and even before. I know people always go back to Montreal, but even before Montreal as well, there's been a lot of times where she's played and
showing signs.
Yeah, and when she's looking, when she's comfortable, she's playing well. Hence why. There was a lot of us are always saying she lost that match because it was a mental thing, not necessarily a physical thing. It was because of things like that. We're not saying that she's that mentally weak. It was more of a thing of like when she's not really up for it, it translates to her game. And when she is, it translates to her game as well.
Yeah.
But in terms of how she played today, it was just she was in control and it was very difficult for Coco to catch up. But speaking of Coco, I do think that's definitely the... Each round, she was getting better and better. And I feel like...
Coco.
Yeah. And I feel like with Coco, a lot of times, that's what happens with her. Like, each round, she gets better and better.
Kind of plays her way in.
Exactly. Like, she was serving better this time. She was trying to return well.
I think today, her serve was actually better than her return.
Which
is like... And she laughed about that as well during press.
Exactly.
But I think to go back to your point as well, the match... Well, the first set, I was there for the first set. I left after the first set to go to the Phoenix Express, but it was Osaka that settled quicker. So she was the one that was kind of more dominant at the start, and then Coco kind of found her footing maybe two or three games into the match.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, there were some really nice rallies.
And it's funny because I was saying, I feel like it's going to be something like that where we will get really nice rallies into it. I do think if Coco got one break in that second set, maybe the second set would have gone a bit differently, maybe a bit longer. I'm not saying she would have won the match, but who knows? I think it probably got into a tie break or something, because I think it would have given her that push.
Okay.
But she was really struggling to break Osaka. But I definitely agree. You could tell that she was slowly getting her groove, but the thing is, it was too slow. Whereas you have Coco, Osaka, who was ready,
just go.
Yeah, exactly. But again, she was moving well. And yeah, I feel she was just good, honestly. She was just comfortable on on the court, even when she was making mistakes, she wasn't like too much on herself. Whereas you had Coco, who was really like kind of like down when she was making mistakes. She was going, you know, looking at her box a lot and stuff. But in all honesty, Eugene, I am glad. I'm not sad at all that she's lost. In all honesty, like I was really worried when she got emotional on the court. I really think that
after that was the first round match. Was the second, first or second round?
First. It was after the first, I believe. I can't remember. But anyways, but yeah. Yeah, I just feel like it's just been a lot on her. I really think Coco needs like a good break. Not like a break of like, oh, Finn's gone back, but just a break because she's been hustling since she was 15. She's been working really hard for a very long time. But again, she's won a slam. She tried to change like her motion, like in the middle of a slam as well. And she even said it herself, she puts a lot of pressure on herself. So I hope she just takes this US Open more of like a learning lesson type of thing. Like, listen, you've done the best that you've could, especially for your age. You've ended the season with, you know, you're still ranking really high. You're still a threat to a lot of these competitors. And you won a Grand Slam that a lot of people haven't.
It's been a great year.
It's been a great year. Exactly. Like, it's only been like post. And the things, when you look at all of her slam runs, only Wimbledon's the one where it's been like, you know, she's made second week in all of them. Australian Open, she was so close. French, she won it. Wimbledon didn't go as well. But even that, we know it's all about the schedule as well. Like, it was so tight, especially considering that she made it to two finals. That she was literally just winning, 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 back to back to back to back. And then, you know, she made a second week at home slam, so which she already won as well. So, yeah, it is what it is, man. But I do wish there was, we had a little bit more from the match as a whole. But I'm definitely looking forward in the future for, like, I can't wait for like a very, like, we have on form Osaka, on form Coco.
Both playing at a high level.
At a high level. Yeah. If we ever get that type of match, mate, it will be like the match of the season of that season, whenever that's going to happen. I know, we know that for sure.
Yeah, no, that's well said.
Both great players.
I again, very impressed with Coco post-match press. Like, again, she wasn't down or like miserable, like quite upbeat. And I just love seeing that from a player who's just lost, like, because it's going to be pretty devastating. Home slam, she's won it before. Like you said, the weight and expectations on her. But I loved an answer she gave to a question basically saying about what was different about losing this year compared to last year. And this is what she said.
Yeah, I mean, my goal going into the tournament this year was not to lose the same way that I lost last year. And I don't remember how many doubles I hit in my match against Emma, but it was definitely in the double digits. So I didn't do that today. And yeah, I mean, it's been a tough, I think, post-French Open for me for sure. And I know the improvements that I need to make. And I feel like I'm like making the right decision by making them. I wish I had more time between this tournament and Cincinnati, but that's the cards that I was given. And I don't know, I think today when I walked on the court, and I don't know, I feel like I put so much pressure on myself at my age at 21, and I realized like how much the girls on tour are being successful at like 25, 26 at those ages. So I think for me, it just gets me excited to realize if I have like four more years of just working as hard as I am right now and actually doing the right things, like where my game could be. And it has, I obviously improved in the last 4 years from 4 years ago to now. So I think if I can make that same jump of improvement, it's a lot to be excited for the future for.
So yeah, just a great answer. Like, and again, it's something we always touch on. She's 21 years old. Like, she's literally just starting out. She's achieved a hell of a lot at 21.
Which she even said herself. Like, she was like, you know, when I look at the others, at 25, 27, and
this is it. So
this is where I'm at 21. And she's done more at 21 than them, what those people have done at 21.
Incredible. So again, keep your head up, Coco, and just, yeah, shouts out to you, because there's a lot to be proud of.
For sure.
Just in terms of this year at the Grand Slams, like, you're a Grand Slam champion
yeah.
for the second time. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It's been a great year, and obviously she goes off to Asia now, where she did, she won some titles last year, so she's got some points to defend.
Yeah.
But again,
yeah.
She said in press, like, she was just playing a lot more free. Well, just playing free. Mm. Like, didn't put pressure on herself. And it looks like she's going to basically look to do the same this year during that Asia swing. She will have some time off, actually, which is good.
Yeah.
So between now and Beijing, Beijing's the next tournament. So that is going to be nice for her to, like, just
take some time off and also do some training. She did say she's going to do some training blocks as well.
Exactly.
So this would give her time to really practice the new service motion as well, so, which is great. But in terms of Osaka, there was a post that US Open did where it's like, anytime she's made it for the quarterfinals at Grand Slam, she's won.
Are we tempting fate?
I'm not going to lie, when I saw that, I was like, guys, don't jinx it. But it's incredible that she's been able to come back. I mean, I know some of you guys doubted her. I didn't doubt her. I just felt like she just needed more time.
Yeah.
That's it. I do, because I think when she came back from maternity, she was trying to rush the process. And it's like, but it shows you how hungry she was. And it goes back to what I was mentioning about watching a documentary and remembering how much of a hard worker she is. And how much she really wanted this, and that's what it was. Like, she just came back, she's like, okay, I want to win this amount of Grand Slams and do this and do that, and da-da-da-da. Yeah, if I don't win it, I'm going to retire. Da-da. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah,
so it was all of that. But she's taking her time. You know, her ranking has gone up. And when Osaka is playing well, it is so... Like, it's just great tennis. Like, when I see her playing like this, it just reminds me, like, this is... who I was watching years ago and was like, who is this girl? What is happening here? A fantastic match and level from her. She is facing
Karolina Mukova,
who she lost to last year. Very interesting.
Different match though, man.
Different match, different level. And again, like I used to say last year, and she's even saying it now herself, where, like, you know, when she's playing against these players, she is motivated. So I think she's coming into that court thinking, I need to get my lick back. You took that away from me last year. You didn't allow me to wear my outfit longer. Because that did hurt her. She was like, I wanted to wear my outfit longer. So she's getting her lick back with her four Labubus of Althea Glitterson, I think.
Today's one. That was cute.
Yeah, love that. Massive, massive shout out to Osaka. Looking forward to that match. And that's it.
That's it, Lucy.
That's it, guys. Obviously, we still have doubles going on. I think Paolini and Sarah Ryan are literally playing to the court right next to us at the moment. But
Townsend Siniakova as well.
Venus Williams and Leila Fernandez are playing at the moment as well.
Asia Mohammed, Demi Schurz. It's like there's a lot going on.
Yeah. So we still got the doubles, but the singles are matches. So we have Felix and Alex on Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah.
And then Osaka and Mukova, which means tomorrow is a day off, guys. Please do not at me. Call me, text me, nothing. Okay? Nothing about tennis for a good day. How about that? Actually, there's some good other matches. Today it's Bublik and Sinner.
Exactly. That's first match.
That will be really interesting. Definitely putting my VPN on for that. And then tomorrow, Djokovic and Fritz. How do you think the boys are going to do? Who do you have?
Those two matches.
For Sinner, Bublik, who do you have?
That could be an upset, you know.
I actually won't be surprised.
It could be an upset.
Because when Bublik decides to really care about his job, he's on it, man. I find him, do you know he's like the one non-black tennis player that I really want to interview one day? I would love to sit down for 4 hours and just chat with Bublik about
tennis. Maybe catch him in the garden.
Maybe one day, you know.
Catch him in the garden. Say, Bublik, give me 5 minutes.
Djokovic, Fritz, how do you see that going?
I'm
going
to go, the head-to-head is embarrassing. It's ridiculously one-sided.
I mean, that's just Djokovic with nearly everyone.
But again, I feel like Fritz has... This is probably the Fritz's best chance of winning. But I'm going to go Djokovic. But Fritz has a good chance.
He has a good chance, especially like Djokovic right now in his back. Something else.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But we'll catch you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed the pod and see you on... Wait. Today 10? Whatever the date is, it's going to be next. Okay, ciao.
Take care, guys.